during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each applicant shall be introduced. The director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present testimony supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker's stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. If you have a written statement, hand it to me or to Mr. Lank, and it will be made part of the record. You are not required to read your written statement. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or to switch to silent service. The applicant or their representatives will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And the first hearing today is for Brian L. White and Lisa D. White. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in a GR, General Residential District, for a well drilling business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 6 acres, more or less, lying west of Road 279, also known as Camp Arrowhead Road, 390 feet north of Road 277, also known as Angola Road. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on July 8th of 2010. For the benefit of council, I have passed down copies of the survey of the property. We did receive on July 8th of 2010 agency comments. The two agencies responding were DelDOT, which was received on March 5th of 2009, and the Sussex Conservation District, which was received on July 1st of 2010. The commission was provided with a copy of the survey and site plan and a brief description of the application form references that all business will be conducted off-site, that trucks will leave the property in the a.m. and return in the p.m. with no ingress egress during normal business hours, that the proposed office will be located in the existing garage on the parcel with the dwelling, and that some vehicles will be parked at the office and the remaining trucks and equipment will be parked on the adjoining lot. Brian and Lisa White were both present and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of public hearings on July 8th, the commission discussed the application, and there was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. And that motion carried 4-0. This application has not been acted on yet, and it is scheduled for an old business item with the commission on August 12th of 2010. I received no additional agency or individual responses or comments since the 8th of July. And that's all I have.
Okay. Any questions from council? Seeing none, Ms. White, would you like to come forward and make your application and presentation?
We had applied for the condition.
Can you introduce yourself for the record and your address, please?
Lisa White, 22482 Camp Arrowhead Road, Lewis, Delaware. We had applied for the conditional use for the operation of the well drilling business. Normal business hours would be 7:30 to 5. No noise impact, you know, will be occurred, basically for entering and leaving the location. We only have a couple deliveries twice a week, which is during those business hours. And we have no need for signage. And basically, we do have a pole building constructed on there now, which is for personal use. If this gets approved, of course, the company vehicles will be facilitated in this building, so it's not out in the open. The pipe racks would be constructed to store the racks. Concrete pads would be put up to put the sand in, and basically it'll all be confined. And, you know, so that's my reasoning for the conditional use.
Ms. White, this is on property you currently own with your husband.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Where are your vehicles parked now? Where do you...
The company vehicles, well, we do park them in the pole building.
Okay.
They're, you know, to keep them out of sight. And the only other vehicles on the property, we have three full-time employees. And they're the only vehicles that are there between 7:30 and 5. What else did I want to mention? Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions from council?
No.
Can I make one more
yes.
comment? I just want to make mention, too, that there is no client relations at this location. Because of the type of business it is, my husband has to meet every client at their place of residence because he has to draw where he's going to put the well. So there's, you know, that I just want to make mention of that, too.
Mm-hmm. And the trucks are going during the day.
I'm sorry.
During the working days, the trucks will not be there, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Is there anyone else that would like to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone else that would like to speak in support of the application? Seeing none, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Anyone here in opposition? Seeing none, at this point, Mr. President, I feel it would be appropriate to close the public hearing on this matter and that close the record on this matter.
Okay, without objection. It appears this was deferred by planning and zoning?
It was.
If it pleases the council, I'll entertain a motion to defer.
Motion to defer.
Second, please.
Second.
Go ahead.
Any discussion? Take the vote, Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is conditional use number 1839, the application of R. Joseph Johnson, an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a shop and office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 21,962 square feet, more or less, lying north of Road 269, also known as Clay Road, 600 feet east of Road 276, also known as Shady Road. Now, this application was also reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission in public hearing on July 8th of 2010. At that time, we heard comments from DLDOT, which were received on March 23rd of 2009, the Sussex Conservation District, which comments were received on July 1st of 2010. Those comments are part of the report. For the benefit of council, I've just passed down copies of the survey and site plan for the property. The applicant, in a brief description of the application form, referenced that the shop is intended to be used for the personal office of Shore Electric, that the survey site plan indicates a 3,640 square foot building is proposed to the rear of the lot with parking in front of the building, that the parking area is set back at least 40 feet from the front property line, and that the existing residence on the property is proposed to be demolished. We did receive a petition in opposition to the application. We received it on July 6, 2010. It contained 17 signatures in opposition. The petition contained reference that the application be denied since the use is in conflict with current applicable zoning, that the proposed use is not a listed permitted use, that allowing a commercial shop office designation compromises the integrity and intent of the code, that the current property is adjacent to residential uses on both sides and to the rear, that the current property lies within 12 contiguous residential properties. The land across the street is state-owned and designated for agriculture in perpetuity. That bisecting existing residential properties with a business use is out of character with adjoining uses, diminishes property values, and sets a precedent whereby additional incompatible uses may be allowed. That increased setbacks and buffering will not be created. That security lighting can be obtrusive. That sight line obstructions can be created by signage. That additional traffic is a concern since Clay Road has two lanes, no shoulders, and high volume traffic during peak hours. That increased impervious coverage creates problems with drainage. That the property abuts sensitive wetland. That the site is located in a wellhead protection area. That there could be noise and activity associated with after hour and or emergency services. That the area is prevalent with corridors, tracks, and sites zoned and appropriate for commercial uses, and that the code is designed to encourage development where it is appropriate. Our Joseph Johnson was present and gave testimony. He also submitted a tax map of the area showing some commercial uses along Clay Road and photographs of the commercial uses, which for the benefit of council, I will pass those down now.
Thank you, President.
There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the July 8, 2010 meeting, the commission deferred action for further consideration and left the record open for a copy of the wetlands delineation. On July 22nd, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend denial of conditional use 1839 for R. Joseph Johnson based upon a record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the location is in an area along Clay Road that is predominantly residential. All the lots on either side of the applicant's property and used for residential purposes, and it backs up to McNichols Place Mobile Home Park. While there is a tank farm on an acre of property on the other side of Clay Road, it is surrounded by a large tract owned by the state of Delaware that will be farmed in perpetuity. The other C1, B1, and conditional uses are oriented to the Westcott's Corner intersection and are not in the immediate vicinity of this property. Two, the use as an electrical contracting business and a steel building will not be compatible with the surrounding residential uses. Three, I'm not satisfied that the use will not adversely affect Clay Road, which is very narrow and currently very busy. Four, I believe there are other sites that are currently zoned for this type of use that are more appropriate than converting an existing residential property in a residential neighborhood to a business use. Five, a petition was presented containing signatures from residents of Clay Road in opposition to the application expressing concerns that the property is not compatible with the intent of the zoning code, that the property is adjacent to residential uses on both sides and to the rear and lies within 12 contiguous residential properties, that the land across the street is designated for agricultural uses in perpetuity, that the business use is out of character with adjoining uses and would diminish property values, and that the rezoning would set a precedent for future uses in this residential area. Petition also contains objections based upon lighting, noise, and other activities that would be associated with the business use in a residential neighborhood and concerns about traffic that would be created by the use. And six, I do not believe that the purposes of the zoning code for granting a conditional use are satisfied in this application. This use would not be well adjusted to its environment and would not offer full protection to surrounding properties if granted. There was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried with 3 votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated. That motion carried 3-0, with Mr. Ross not participating in the discussion or vote since he was not present during the public hearing. One additional comment would be that we did receive from the applicant a copy of the wetlands delineation report. It was prepared by EnviroTech Environmental Consulting Incorporated. And there is a small area of wetlands along the rear of the lot next to McNichols Place, Mobile Home Park. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions from council of Mr. Lank? If not, is R. Joseph Johnson here?
Yes.
Would you like to come forward? Introduce yourself and give us your address, and then you can tell us what you want to do and why you want to do it.
Hello, I'm Joseph Johnson. My address is 34697 Jiffy Way in Lewis, Delaware. Our business is very similar to the well drilling business that was just here. Our business operation hours are from 8 till 4. We are not there on weekends. We are not there on nights. There will be a secretary working in the office there. Occasionally, there's two secretaries there. There will not be a lot of deliveries. Most of our deliveries are made to our job sites. As far as lighting or buffers or fences, we would be glad to do whatever the council suggested to appease the neighbors, although that doesn't sound like it's going to be very easy. As I stated before, there are a lot of commercial businesses along this road, and we just wanted to put our business there. It seemed like a very good location, and I guess that's about it.
Do you currently own that property?
Yes.
You do, and what is your connection with Shore Electric? Do you own Shore Electric?
Yes, I own Shore Electric.
Where do you operate now? Where is Shore Electric operating now?
Right now, we're behind Jiffy Lube on Route 1.
Okay.
Behind Bethany Blues.
Yes, okay.
I notice on the map there is a dwelling at the front of the property that's slated for demolition. Is someone living in that property now?
That is correct. We have a tenant there who is on basically a month-to-month basis. And they are under the. They know that if we do get approval, that they would, you know, get a notice to leave, and we would build our building, and they would. Their building would be torn down.
You also indicated that there were certain commercial uses on this road. Where are they in relation to your property? How close are they?
They across. I guess you would say it would be Caddy Corner across the street. There's a tank farm that. I think it's Breakwater Fuel. They have an office there, and they have trucks and tanks, and they operate delivering fuel around, I'm sure it's around the clock, especially when they have emergency after-hours deliveries. At the very other end of the street, there's a small office complex. Russ Palmer Builders is there, and there's a mortgage company there. And the other end of the street, there's Dean Sherman has his business, Sherman Fuel Oils. There's doctor's offices there. There's also a garage with a little restaurant on the corner that is down the street.
What kind of building did you propose to build?
Well, I was proposing a metal building, just a basic metal building. We would try to make the front look, dress it up a little as far as a color scheme and maybe put awnings on the front of it. And they asked me before about signage. I said I did not want to put a sign on the road because I know the road is a little busy, but I did suggest I would like to put a sign on the building itself.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And how many trucks do you have right now?
We have 6 trucks right now. Mm-hmm. Actually, 5 of them are on the road. We have one that's parked. Things are a little quiet, but it fluctuates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are these lots part of any subdivision, Lawrence?
There are a lot stripped off along the public road.
So they weren't part of any, like?
Numbers are actually parcel numbers when you look at the site map.
Okay.
So they weren't developed in a unit?
No.
No. But you have houses on either side?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other questions from council? Any none? Do you have anything else to add?
No, sir. Thank you.
Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else here in favor of the application? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone here in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, I feel at this time we should close the public hearing and public record if you deem it appropriate.
Without objection, is there discussion by the council. You may be seated.
Well, I think we need to close the hearing.
Yes, hearing and the public record is closed as well.
My only comments would be, since there is an objection from P&amp;Z, I'd like to, I haven't been down that section of Clay Road in a long time, and I wouldn't mind riding back down through there, getting a feel of the neighborhood. There is concerns about the residential nature.
Motion to defer. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second to defer. Any discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Excuse me. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
I would like to point out to council that based on a recent Supreme Court or a recent court decision concerning a matter that was before the Board of Adjustment, that any evidence that you consider must be evidence that was in the record, not necessarily from personal observations.
Very good. Next, Mr. Lane.
Yes, thank you. Next application is conditional use number 1840. The application of Julianne Olber and William N. Hine to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for screen printing, embroidery, vinyl sign business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Henry Hovith 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 10,615 square feet, more or less, lying northeast of Route 24, also known as John J. Williams Highway, 275 feet southwest of Road 275, being Plantation Road. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on July 8th of 2010. On June 24th of 2010, the applicant provided an exhibit booklet, which I passed down for the members.
Thank you.
We also received comments from DelDOT. Those comments were received on December 15th, 2008. Sussex Conservation District provided comments on July 1st of 2010. Julianne Olber and William N. Hine were present with Robert Witzel, attorney, and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application, and the commission on July 8th did defer action for further consideration, and this application is also on the agenda for old business on August 12th of 2010 for decision making. I received no additional comments from any individuals or agencies to date since the 8th of July. That's all I have. That's your question.
Are there any questions from council of Mr. Lang? Seeing none, Mr. Witzel.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of council. My name is Robert Witzel. I have offices at 120 South Bedford Street in Georgetown and the Circle in Rehoboth. I am pleased to be here on this afternoon on behalf of Julianne Olber and William Hine. Timing is everything. When we filed this application in 2008, my clients were engaged. Julianne had her single name of Olber. They are now married, and they are Julianne and William Hine. It is Julianne's parcel. William uses it and has used it for a short period of time now, approximately a year and a half to 2 years, for his business. As I mentioned to the Planning Commission, there was some confusion back when he started his screen printing, embroidery, and a custom trophy business. He had applied for and sent letters to Mr. Lank regarding a home occupation. I discovered at the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing that Mr. Lank did not issue that home occupation permit for reasons that it couldn't be issued for that type of use. And I can tell you that ever since the application has been filed, that is the time period that William has been using the premises. It is the fifth lot north of the intersection of Plantation Road on Route 24. It's on the northwest side of Route 24. And in your packet is a set of four photographs. On the first side of the photograph is the exterior picture of the premises. Again, this is on the northwest side of Route 24, just west of the intersection with Plantation Road. And the second picture down is the rear yard. On the flip side are two pictures of the interior. And the first is the actual workshop where the silk screening and printing occurs. And the next picture is the front office where Bill has a desk and a display of his silk screening products. Those silk screening products are the subject of correspondence, which I have placed in your file, from many agencies, the Lewis Fire Department, other agencies. I have, if I may, Mr. Moore, another nice letter from the Kelly Fishman Foundation about Bill's services. Kelly died of a blood disorder several years ago, and her parents have a memorial race every year, and Bill does the silk screening for the T-shirts for that business. In your packet, additionally, are several letters from neighbors, adjacent neighbors, nearby neighbors, backyard neighbors, across-the-street neighbors, who are in favor of the application. Since I've been involved in this process and at the Planning and Zoning Commission process, we have heard from no one who is opposed to this application. Before I call Bill briefly to talk to you, I'd also like to present to you a revised survey that we had commissioned since the Planning Commission. Mr. Johnson at the Planning Commission had some questions about proposed parking. We took those comments into consideration, and I think for the benefit of both Bill and Julie and their clients, the revised the revised survey, which I am circulating amongst you, is a much better entrance and parking plan than presently exists. The Obers, the Hines realize that this will be the subject of a DelDOT entrance permit if this application is approved, and we submit that as our proposed entrance plan. Bill, if you could step forward for just a minute. First of all, I've made some representations on your behalf as of this date and time. Are they correct?
Yes.
And you are the entrepreneur of this small business?
Yes.
How many people do you employ?
One full-time, one part-time.
So there's two full-times and one part-time, including yourself?
That's correct.
And how long have you been in operation?
About a year and a half.
I have made, I think, an incorrect statement on my initial application of the size of the interior of the premises. We originally estimated it to be 1,850 square feet. You've narrowed that down, have you not, to approximately 1,250 square feet?
That's correct.
Not that you've reduced the size, just recalculated.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
All of your silk screening work and other work, which I'll ask you to describe in just a minute, is inside the facility?
That's correct.
Do you generate any noise whatsoever?
Nothing, really.
Is there any smell or odors or anything offensive that is generated in the interior of your structure?
No.
Would you tell the council what you do? I've summarized it as silk screening, embroidery, and vinyl sign business with some trophy identification or labeling. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Would you?
Pretty much do screen printing is the major bulk of the business, and that's just printing ink onto a T-shirt. That's done in-house. Most of my embroidery work is done. I sub it out to others. They would deliver to me. I would deliver to the customer. A lot of things are done over the internet and just drop shipped to a customer, where I might order a pen that's, you know, similar to this with Robert Witzel on it. I order it online and it gets shipped to Robert's office, and you know, I'm just taking a credit card over the phone or through email. But that's pretty much it. The only thing that's really done on site is the actual screen printing of the T-shirts.
DelDOT has not recommended a traffic impact study, and has reported that the level of service on Route 24 would not be affected by your business. Could you tell the council approximately how many cars or clients come to visit you every day?
As far as cars, that would be there all day. My truck would be there, my two employees, and then occasionally there would be one other car. About the most I've ever had is two customers in the place at one time. So you might see see 4 to 5 cars there, but that's a rarity.
Has there ever been any difficulty with access into your facility by your customers?
No, it's been fairly simple, in and out.
I made a statement just a couple minutes ago that since I've been involved, there hasn't been any objections from neighbors. Have you received any objection from any neighbor regarding your business or this proposal?
I have not.
Mr. Moore, more for your benefit, there is a deed restriction for Midway Acres, but it is it does not address non-residential use. It does not address businesses. It simply requires that any animal on premises be a domesticated animal, and there are 7-foot side yard setbacks. There are no prohibitions against business or anything that the Hines are proposing. There's no homeowners association.
Does it mention nuisance or word like
it? It does not.
It does not.
No, it's one of those antiquated restrictive covenants that does not even say
same one.
Residential use only. Mm-hmm. So
it does say that.
And with the word nuisance in there, you still were able to
Live there. Nuisance or not.
Bill, just to make it clear, you deal mostly with bulk orders and not single customer items. Is that correct?
Yes.
There are approximately 7 letters from individuals in the neighborhood and 2 letters in the file from other agencies. The Sussex Conservation District has reported that no storm flood hazard area will be affected by the application, that no off-site drainage improvements or on-site drainage improvements are necessary, and that no tax ditches are affected by the application. I recommend to you that the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the June 2008 edition, in its economic element, recommends that the county diversify and expand the local job base, which is exactly what Bill is proposing to do, to focus on less land use intensive industries, which this is, and finally, and most clearly, to promote and foster entrepreneurship. And this is a small business, which I think will not only benefit the Hines, but benefit those people who they serve, particularly those charitable events that require t-shirts and sweatshirts, and finally provide a good base for a couple of 3 jobs in the area. That concludes our presentation, unless you have any questions for us.
I'm looking at this drawing, proposed parking, and I think I can read with my bifocals here. Does it say well to be removed?
Yes, it does.
And you have to have some 100 and some feet between your well and your septic. Where's the well?
The well is right there with the dark spot, Ms. Deaver, and it is builds in a franchise district, a water franchise district. And we discussed that at the Planning Commission, and they discussed the fact that parking should be enlarged. Mm-hmm. There is a well there. We're going to remove the well. He's going to hook up to the franchise and
to the central water.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's where it is. That dark spot, right to the right of well to be removed, the dot.
You'd be the first in the neighborhood to be hooked up.
Mm-hmm. My two neighbors are.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Tommy Clayton and then Frank, the next door neighbor.
Well, that's
they
good
both
to
hooked
know.
Up. His well just went out this spring.
He can't get a permit now, huh?
What's that?
So you probably can't get a permit now because he's on the. On
I don't
the
know
line.
How. When it went pretty quick, he hooked up to my house and I shared water with him for I don't know. It was about a little over a week before mm-hmm. he finally got a plumber out there to hook him up.
Hook him up to the sewer. I mean, public
to
water.
Well,
public
yeah,
water.
The public water. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Public water. Okay, that solves that problem.
And Julianne, I'd be remiss if I didn't call you for just a minute. Would you please introduce yourself and give your home address?
My name's Julianne Hine. I live at 32249 Captain's Court, Millsboro.
As the property owner, would you please tell the council if my statements on your behalf have been true and correct?
Yes, they have been true and correct.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. President?
Are there any questions from council? Any further questions?
I saw a letter from, one letter from neighbors. I didn't see seven from neighbors. I saw letters from other business people. I'm very sensitive to what you have from neighbors. It's very important because this would be the first commercial type of activity in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So it's very important. But I do see, what about UPS trucks? How often do you get deliveries?
I probably get those 3 to 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
I would consider.
And they don't have trouble getting in and out?
They usually pull up and then back in so mm-hmm. that they can pull out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's enough room for them to jockey around.
How do they make lefts out of there?
How they make lefts?
Uh-huh.
They're making
right near
them.
The intersection there.
Yeah. They sit there for a while to do it.
Wild place.
Yeah. And same thing with the mailman. He sits there for a while to do his U-turn.
I'm sure
on
he
the
does.
Last delivery before he goes in town.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Ms. Deaver, there are several neighbors.
I see Frank Smith. With, I know Frank. He lives in Wilmington. I was interested, really, in the folks who actually live there. I do see Collins Avenue. Looks, and I think he does live there.
Yeah, he would be the one directly behind me.
Yeah. Mrs. Dolan, does she actually live there?
That's next door. That's a rental.
She's got a William F. Street, Redwood Beach, Delaware.
Yes. It's a rental next door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
okay.
Tommy and Karen are the ones right next to the Dolans.
Okay. So you have letters from them.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Any other questions? If not, is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else that would like to speak in favor of the application? Seeing none, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, it would be appropriate to close the public hearing on this matter and the public record.
Okay.
We don't have a decision from planning and zoning, do we?
We do not.
When we do,
we
don't.
We do not. Would you like to make a motion to defer?
I will.
Second, please.
Second.
Motion and a second to defer. Any discussion?
No, I just like to, I have to correct myself. There was a hair salon on Route 24 in Plantation Road, so yours would not be the first business in that area. It would be the second one. So I correct myself.
Okay.
Good job.
Yeah.
Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
My hair done there all the time.
Hairport.
I was waiting to see if you.
Thank you, Mr. Whittle.
Next item is conditional use number 1841, the application of George W. Swain to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for a marina and restaurant to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4.7 acres, more or less. Lying east of Road 203, also known as Mississippian Lighthouse Road, 0.9 miles north of Route 36, also known as Cedar Beach Road. For the benefit of council, I passed down a packet of information. Take one of these for a second.
Okay, this is yours.
On this commission held public hearing on this application on July 8th of 2010. We received comments from DelDOT and Sussex Conservation District. We also received a letter from C. Frederick Langford, President and CEO of Langford Cisco Food Services, and that letter was written to the County Economic Development Office in support of the proposed use. Commission was provided copies of the survey site plan and copies of the conceptual building plan for the restaurant, which I have provided. I think you need one more. George W. Swain was present with Pete Russo on his behalf, and Mr. Russo gave presentation.
Here we go.
Steve Maston, Robert Walls, and Charles Orman were present and spoke in support of the application and referenced the historic that the site is historically been a fishing village, boating, fishing, crabbing, boat docks, the lighthouse, restaurants and tourism, that the use along with a nature center would bring in more tourism, that the use will create construction jobs and seasonal jobs, that the use promotes tourism and will support the area, that the restaurant nature center will become a destination, that the use is supported by the and benefits the town of Slaughter Beach and the city of Milford, that the eco tours will be to benefit to both the town and the city, The use will improve the area and should improve property values. That the use should attract tourism and other similar supportive business uses in the area. And the lack of maintenance of the property will erode the property. There were no parties present in opposition to the application. At conclusion of public hearings, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1841 for George W. Swain for a marina restaurant based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed use is consistent with the historical use of the site, Mississippian Lighthouse Road and Slaughter Beach. Two, the proposed dock area is similar in size and scope to previous docking areas on the site. Three, the use will revitalize the Slaughter Beach area, which has been in decline over the years. Four, the proposed use will create needed jobs through restaurant, marine activities, and ecotourism. Five, the use will be an ecotourism destination along the Mississippian River, connected with the riverfront and downtown Milford, that will benefit Milford and its businesses. Six, the project will have a positive impact on neighboring and adjacent properties, and it will not adversely affect traffic or community facilities. Seven, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. One, the hours of operation shall be between 9 a.m. and 11 p.m. for the restaurant. Two, there shall be seating for no more than 100 patrons within the restaurant and its decks. Three, parking shall comply with the requirements of the zoning code. Four, there shall not be any fuel sales on site. Five, there shall be no more than 22 boat slips on site. Six, any security lighting shall be screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties. Seven, stormwater management on the site shall comply with all DENREC and Sussex Conservation District requirements. Eight, the applicant shall comply with DLDOT's request for payment of the area-wide study fee. Nine, the final site plan shall contain a landscape plan for the site. And 10, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And also for the record, since July 8th, I have received a copy of a fax letter from the town of Slaughter Beach in support of the application, and it was signed by Stephen T. Maston, secretary for the town council of Slaughter Beach. I also received a letter on July 19th, 2010 from the city of Milford, signed by both the mayor, Ronnie Rogers, and also Gary Emery, director of the Milford Parks and Recreation, also in support of the application. And finally, I received on July 26th a letter from the F. Gary Simpson, state senator, 18th district, also in support of this application. And that's all I have. Chef, questions?
Yes, is it going to have to be served by a septic or what?
It would have to be a septic system or central system on site because there is no services in that area.
Has DENREC signed off on that?
Not yet. They won't until they know they have the approval.
Mm-hmm. Any indication there is a problem?
Pardon?
Any indication that there could be a problem with that?
The only problem that the applicant, as I'm sure, is going to tell you, is that they've had problems with the marina for many years in discussion with DENREC, and it keeps getting smaller in size each time they have a discussion.
Okay. You mean the size of the business?
Size of the marina.
Size of the marina.
Yeah, number of slips.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the applicant is present to give testimony.
Good, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions of counsel of Mr. Lang? If not, George W. Swain, present.
My name is Peter Russo. I'll be speaking on behalf of Mr. Swain this afternoon.
And what is your relationship to Mr. Swain?
I'm his business partner. Okay. And I live at 2859 Bowers Beach Road.
Okay. If you would like to give us your presentation.
Okay. I think that I want to give you some. I have some updated downsized drawings of the restaurant and a revised print of the marina.
Okay.
You also did the presentation in front of planning and zoning, that's what I read here, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, so you're...
That is correct.
At first, I thought you were like a stand-in here, but obviously you know what you're doing.
No, the project has been ongoing for 10 years. We've been trying to get a permit from Natural Resources to replace the docks that were at the site for probably 100 years. There's probably been something there.
Yeah, these are different, Lawrence, from what we've had, or are they more of the same?
No, this is, he just submitted these as revised. They've downsized the size of the restaurant and downsized the...
From what we were...
Site plan to match.
Natural Resources is very worried. It's very environmentally sensitive. There's a bird issue there. They wanted the docks to be considerably downsized. They didn't want I think the original print you're seeing was 50 slips. We're definitely not interested in hurting the environment, and if doing so gets us a permit, we'll work with them. We're eager to work with them. The idea has always been to put a restaurant there. Septic is probably the number one issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe septic, we're not interested in spending any money at this point until we know you folks are interested in seeing us do this, then we'll spend the time and the effort in facilitating a septic system.
Mm-hmm.
There have been discussions. I have talked with some people from Tidewater about some types of advanced septic systems to try to make this work. To give you an idea of the restaurant, it most likely would be a seasonal business. If we could put a 100-seat place in that location, it would be fabulous. You know, that would be a start. That would be great. I do own a restaurant in Bowers Beach. I've been there for 20 years. We do now employ 15 people. We've been very successful, even through the recession. We've been very fortunate.
Is it right on the water?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. This site that we'd like to get approval for is not, it's not a stranger to any of these activities that we're asking for. There's been a restaurant there. There's been docks. The nature center's there. I might be wrong, but I do believe they had over 10,000 visitors to the nature center last year. I think the state, this would accent that, and they could help us at the same time. The boat docks were designed originally to make income from renting slips, multiple slips. Now, there are, if you notice, there are probably 12 larger slips for rent we would like to use for income potential. And then we've left a long section of dock open. You'll see larger vessels tying up on Cedar Creek. Those vessels would be commercial boats, crab, oyster boats, maybe charter boats. We have a strong interest in an eco-tour business. City of Milford's eager to see this happen. They're willing to work with us, provide us with a stopping point in Milford, downtown on the Riverwalk. Again, this site is no stranger to this. There's other land that's been rezoned in that area. I believe we have quite a bit of support. A lot of people, in support of this. But it is a work in progress, and with the money that has to be spent to do something like this, we're crawling at this point.
Mm-hmm. You have any live aboards? Do you plan to have any that live aboard or live aboard the boats?
I don't see that happening. Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't prohibit it.
There's no blueprint.
Yeah.
At this point, I just have no blueprint at this point in time.
The reason I ask is because a lot of marinas have pump out stations. Are you planning that?
At this point, there are marine services that provide independent holding tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Not totally up on that. Mm-hmm. I knew some of them are just a straight holding tank. Some of them use the chemical process. I'm not totally up on that.
I think the state has requirements if you get a marina permit that will require
certain. There's a tremendous amount of work
red
that
tape.
Has to go
mm-hmm.
into it.
Does Mr. Swain currently own this property?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, how many jobs would you anticipate if you get the approval for the size of the restaurant and marina that you're proposing?
It's possible the restaurant alone could 10 to 15 employees. The docks, the running docks, depending on what type of commercial activities, you know, the eco-tour business, a charter boat, it's hard to say how many jobs that could domino. That could create quite a few. The eco-tour thing could be rather large. It'd take years to grow, but it could be something to build on. With the restaurant in Slaughter's Beach and our restaurant in Bowers Beach and restaurants in Lewis, transient boats, we've seen our business in Bowers Beach dramatically grow. I know when it started, it was nothing what it is today.
Now, did natural resources encourage you to make a smaller restaurant or what?
No, the downsize in the restaurant is probably a concern of the septic. We're finding that right around 100 seats is probably going to be the amount where we're going to start to not be able to have enough area for a septic system. We've only done very limited preliminary work. There has not been a complete site analysis.
So you're trying to satisfy natural resources?
At this point, natural resources would be more inclined to issue us a permit with your approval, your blessing. As far as the restaurant goes, they wouldn't have any real bearing on that as far as the docks. The only thing natural resources would control would be the septic. You know, would make sure that we had the correct, you know, the proper septic for the building. But everything here, this is basically all up to you.
It's almost the same area was already there. Is this not correct?
The original lighthouse, Miss Pillion Lighthouse properties was 1.69 acres. We are, if you look at the site map, we are just a little to the south and east of that, and this property's about twice that size. I know the lighthouse property operated with holding tanks. I believe it was a good business. It was just mismanaged. Mm-hmm. I know the people of Slaughter's Beach and out in City of Milford, really, I hear nothing but people really enjoyed going to that site.
Okay. Are there any other questions from council?
You have boats in there now? Boats?
No.
No boats at all?
Nothing there now.
Nothing? No docks? Nothing?
It is a totally depressed piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
There's pilings left.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the storm of 92 was the end of it.
Yeah, I was just going to ask how protected it is.
The storm of 92 took out the docks. And with the end of the weakfish fishery in the Delaware Bay, there was no economic drive to mm-hmm. revitalize this area.
Mm-hmm. So it's not very protected, really, from the weather, then?
At this point, yes, it is.
It is.
In 92, I believe the jetty, there's been a jetty, a rock jetty, that's been replaced there, the Army Corps of Engineers. When that breached, It totally breached in 92,
mm-hmm.
And that wiped out everything there.
Yeah.
The Lighthouse Restaurant, Mr. Swain's property, all those docks were taken out.
Has that been built up?
Yes. I'm not saying that it's still not, you know,
yeah.
vulnerable, mm-hmm. but considerably less mm-hmm. since the big rock jetty's been put in.
Good.
They're having some problems with dredging and some of the jetty. I don't know if you're, I guess, Carper and different ones are there trying to get dredging and mm-hmm. jetties, and it's an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe it's always going to be a battle against Mother Nature there.
How big was the marina and dock facility prior?
The property known as Lighthouse, the Lighthouse Restaurant, when Galen Stauffer owned it prior in 92, there were 92 boat slips permitted at that site. At the same time, they had already issued us a permit, or Mr. Swain, a permit for 38 boat slips. So there was a tremendous fishery at that site. That was the weakfish capital of the world.
But on this site specifically, how many?
38, slips? I believe, were the maximum on
that's what
this.
What you lost, basically, from damage from the storm.
I believe the lady that owned the property before Walt was very giving, and she would let just about anyone tie a boat up there, and God knows what was put there.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of trees cut, and
and docks made so people could get to their boats, you know.
How far south was the state facility from your site, where they had the parking lot and ramp years ago? Used to be the Newton site.
It's still there.
Still there, I know, but I'm just saying.
How far?
That was basically a ramp and a parking lot.
Yeah, there's three or four ramps there, that large parking lot. Quarter mile. It's in.
Wasn't the same general area?
Yeah, it's between 36 and it's right in the middle.
Gonna make crab cakes?
You want the recipe?
It's really important.
Some of our ideas for the restaurant, because there's such scrutiny over the septic, over the, it doesn't have county sewer. So at our location in Bowers, it's very liberal. We can do anything we want. You know, the amount of people is three times the amount, the water that we can use. Mm-hmm. So the concept after being in the business for 20 years is to reduce your water, your demand on wastewater. It might not be as green, but use paper products, mm-hmm. use that type of thing. Don't create so much that has to be washed.
Mm-hmm. So crabs would be great.
Yep. The intention is to create a seafood restaurant.
I wouldn't mind discussing the recommendations of some of these conditions. The planning and zoning is recommended hours of operation of like 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. Do you have any limits on your restaurant operation up in Kent County?
No, we do not. We are in in the town of Bowers, we're in a commercially zoned district. Mm-hmm. I would like to say that I'm extremely grateful for for that recommendation of approval from the Planning Commission. There's only one, you know, we're going to be reduced to whatever by parking. We're going to be reduced by septic. We're, as far as seating capacity, we might be less, but as far as 100 seats.
How late is your operation up in Bowers?
We're closed on Mondays, 3 to 9, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Our big days are Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We open at 11 o'clock Friday, Saturday, noon on Sunday.
All right. And then the next one was, they talked about, again, 100 patrons that the county would be limiting you to. You say you're going to be limited anyway by the sizes. You're going to have limits based on it because of parking.
It's hard to say.
Sewer,
I mean,
all
of course,
kinds of
no
things.
Business owner wants to be limited as far as how many patrons they can put in there.
Right.
I would ask that we not have that.
Okay.
But I'm not going to dispute it. I'm not going to argue with you.
And number four, they talked about fuel sales. Is the Department of Natural Resources opposed to fuel sales on site, or was it? Where did that come from?
Department of Natural Resources is normally opposed to any fuel. They're very protective over having fuel sales.
Where is the
dry stack? Huh? The Cedar Creek Marina has the large dry stack there. They sell fuel.
So fuel sales are close by?
There are fuel sales within not even a half a mile of our location.
Okay. Yeah. But a boat in the water would have difficulty getting fuel.
They can pull up to the dry stack.
There's
fuel at the dry stack there. And
okay. So
at
there's
the Cedar Creek Marina.
That's not an issue. Okay. And the 22 boat slips was again a Department of Natural Resources basically.
No, at this
negotiations.
Time, no. That, at this time, that was a goodwill faith gesture on our part, is to try to reduce the impact in that area.
So you're offering only
we're
to
offering
do
that.
That's your okay. That's you. So you're comfortable with that. Okay.
We're trying to get to some happy medium with DENRAC, and I don't know that that's going to be possible, but we're trying.
Okay.
That's what we're trying to do, and we want to give you the best idea of what it is we think we're going to end up with.
Everything else would require.
That's what I'm saying.
Was
there any? Was it, Lawrence? Was there any concerns with any opposition? Say
was
to
none.
The. There was none. Okay, none on any of this stuff. Okay, all right. That's
okay.
All my questions. Right?
Any other questions?
Lawrence, do we need to, if we get that far, to add, didn't we, last week?
The conditional use.
Conditional use thing about 3 years or...
I forgot that.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to incorporate that.
Okay, we can do that when we bring, okay.
11.
But just let the applicant be aware.
We did last week.
Yeah, applying for conditional use and rezoning, it's limited. You have to be substantially underway within 3 years, actually under construction. And that'll be read, I'll read that into the record.
Okay. And I guess my only other question would be, I'm hoping that you had a letter from support from Senator Simpson, that between Senator Simpson and Representative Walls, to fix that bridge that runs down there.
You know, one of the comments was made by Mr. Allman, who's a business owner there, and the comments just is true, is the more business, the more money, the more activity, the more chance for the road to be fixed, the more chance for the bridge to be right. fixed.
So when I rode down there, I mean, the bridge needs a little help.
Yes.
It makes it country
though.
It's character.
There's too many bumps in me.
It's character. It
needs a little help. It's character, all right.
Sure, it's charm.
I'm sure they will take care of you.
The reference to the 3 years states it's actually a part of the code, and it's reference to Chapter 115, Article Roman numeral 24, and it's referencing Section 115-174, a period of validity of approval. It said approval of a conditional use under this article shall be valid for a period of 3 years after the date of approval, and thereafter shall become null and void unless construction or use is substantially underway during that 3 year period. And any conditional use shall expire upon abandonment or expiration of that use.
I'll make a motion that we add that to the
We've not finished the public hearing yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes. Do you have anything else to add?
No, sir.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Yes, sir. Someone there?
Come on down. Line them up.
Yes, we'll just line up.
The man's going to fix the bridge. Here he comes.
Yeah, he's going to do it.
Thank you, Mr. President, council members. My name is Bob Walls. I live in Milford. I've been working with Mr. Swain on this for a long time. He's been denied time after time after time. The last time we met with NREC, they told us that things to do. Mr. Swain spent the money, did that, went back to him again. And then they said he didn't have the right permitting. So here we are. And Councilman Vincent, we've tried to fix the road, but the birds are in the way, according to Denerec. So we'll not go in any deeper than that. I'm here for the city of Milford. Excuse me, I'm here on behalf of myself, but the city of Milford would be greatly, well, we would have things, we're trying to revitalize the downtown Milford. We have a lot of antique shops now. Scott Angelucci is really trying to get things rolling down there, and if we could get a marina type down there where we could get a boat, and we'll have an eco tour up to Milford. Gary Emery's already committed that he is going to have a place for the boat to dock. It's right up there with the River Walk. If any of you are familiar with the city of Milford, I'm sure you are. We can unload there, walk downtown, and when it comes time, we go back, get on the boat, and go back down to Slaughter Beach or the old lighthouse. So that's what we're here for. Settler Laughlin, Dave Kenton had made great strides for Maritime Museum there in Milford. So we're just trying to bring jobs and bring sales downtown so we can revitalize, and that's what I think we're all here for. So that's the reason why I'm here in support of this issue. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bobby.
Sir?
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Great.
My name's Barry Hoke. I'm from Pennsylvania. I own the 10.62 acres directly across the street from Mr. Swain and the 9 cottages. I am in favor of this. I've been seeing this since 1969, when my father-in-law had it prior to that, and I purchased the property from him. I'm in favor of it. I have no objections. I'd like to see it, and I believe a lot of people would. I'd like to see the old days again with the big fish, but I don't know if that'll ever come. So, you have any questions for me?
No. Those hours that were we talked about from 9, what was it, 9 in the morning to 11 p.m. at night? That's satisfactory?
I have no problems. Mm-hmm. I have no problems with this. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it.
I'm just wondering why you still live in Pennsylvania.
I am semi-retired. I'm down here right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. But it's my wife, my wife Barbara Ann and Barry Ho. We own the property.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For 25, 6 years. So. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very
Someone else would like to speak?
This woman looks familiar.
Yeah.
I'm Julie Wheatley, the Director of Economic Development for Sussex County, and I was brought into the Swain's Wharf questions back in 2008, right after I started. And I have been reviewing the letters back and forth, and always they've been patient and consistent and trying to work with the requirements that have been thrown in there. When I first saw it, I noticed that it was consistent with historical use. It was consistent with the small business entrepreneurial growth initiatives that we have. It was helping the tourism industry. It all made sense. And so I've kind of been supporting them ever since then. And I wanted to make sure when it got here at this point that I voiced my opinion, consideration in front of you guys, too, as a Sussex County employee.
You have a big file on this, don't you?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in behalf of this application? Anyone else? Is there anyone in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, at this point, Mr. President, I believe it's appropriate to close the public hearing and the public record.
Very good, without objection. What's the pleasure of council?
I got a couple suggestions on the recommendations.
Okay.
I think we should, since the marinas typically open up pretty early, the hours of operation for a restaurant doesn't seem anything that I think we need to be trying to, you know, follow and have to go down on, you know, if somebody complained or something. Anyway, I would like to strike the hours of operation just if we think it's deemed appropriate for a restaurant there. I think we ought to let the restaurant people open the restaurant and close the restaurant when they see fit. That would be number one. Again, on the seating, I think we need to strike that because that's going to be dictated. Again, if there's an agreement to a restaurant on this site, I think the size will be dictated through parking, size of the waste system, and other things. So I think we should strike number two. It's again, I don't think the county needs to be sending down inspectors to check on numbers of patrons.
Might want to eat, George.
Well, they would eat also. They could have lunch, but anyway, they could count while they eat, couldn't they? Anyway, so those two I think we ought to strike because I just think that's something that the county doesn't need to stick their nose into. So my suggestion would be to, can I make a motion?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion that we strike.
I'll second it.
Well, I haven't made it yet, Sam. Sit tight.
You're going
to
say.
I was going to make a motion to have only four seats at this county council. The hours of operation should be, number one, should be struck. And we are silent to that fact. And number two, so one and two, I'd like to strike those two and add another one to be numbered.
Nine.
Number nine. That would reflect the 3-year conditional use application permit process.
Just reference
115-1.
Section 115-174.
As stated by Mr. Lank. Okay, so do you have that, Mr. Moore?
Yes.
You know he does. So motion by Mr. Cole, second by Mr. Wilson. Okay.
On number three, how about they're still having problems with this natural resources? Are we?
And which one are you talking about, Sam?
The last one you put on.
The 3-year?
Yeah.
That's under the code anyway.
It's in the code. That's the code.
It would be substantially underway within 3 years because it's no mechanism for extensions in the code.
That's our code.
So just mean, amended last year.
If it comes back, natural resources is the reason for holding this up. You can't blame the owner for not doing it.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, mm-hmm. if they ever fix the bridge.
Okay. That's right.
All right. Thank you, Sam.
there's no further discussion, we'll vote on the motion. Ms. Dever?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. There's no other discussion.
I'll make a motion. We adopt a conditional use. What number is it, Jared?
We'll let Mr. Moore read the title.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Moore. You can read that.
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for a marina and restaurant to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 4.7 acres, more or less, with the following conditions. Number one, parking shall comply with the requirements of the zoning code. Number two, there shall not be any fuel sales on site. Three, there shall be no more than 22 boat slips on site. Four, any security lighting shall be screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties. Five, stormwater management on the site shall comply with all DENREC and Sussex Conservation District requirements. Six, the applicant shall comply with DLDOT's request for payment of the area wide study fee. Seven, the final site plan shall contain a landscape plan for the site. Eight, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the planning and zoning condition. Number nine, that this conditional use shall be substantially under construction within 3 years pursuant to Article 24, Section 115, which indicates that if it's abandoned, it also would terminate.
Mr. Cole.
I have one question for Mr. Moore. On number three, which is about the limiting it to 22 boat slips,
yeah.
If the NREC, say, for instance, said he could have 25 or 27 because of certain conditions, is it possible for Mr. Lank to be able to make that change that over the counter, or is there some wording we could add to number three that would say, unless there'd be no more than 22 boat slips on site unless
that would take a motion to change that. And
well, again, I think it's restrictive what we got here, and because he's kind of in the dark about where they're going to end up, the Department of Natural Resources, on some of these issues.
Yes.
So is there a way we could change that right now and maybe amend it before we go further? I mean, are we
allowed to
do
that?
Before
we go further.
Before we go
any further? That's right.
If it's beneficial to the applicant that there be some number. If you don't have a number there and just say it's subject to NREC, they might give him, two.
I strike it, because then he could come back and we'll just forget that. No, I don't think you're allowed to talk.
I don't think you're allowed.
Unless you put in there that there shall be no more than 22 boat slips on site and subject to the approval of DENREC, it doesn't help the number. The number's still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's just leave it as is. If he gets more, he can then maybe make a...
You have to apply for an amendment to
amendment
the,
or something, which
to the
we'll just do that. All right, sorry, forget that. Right. I'll make a motion. We adopt the ordinance with the amended conditions.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt conditional use number
1841.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? No, we'll take the vote. Ms. Dever?
I vote yes for the reasons given by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission and with the conditions as amended by council.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes, with the conditions. I believe it makes it come into compliance with the county ordinance.
Mr. Vincent?
With the conditions and the recommendation of planning and zoning, I vote yes.
It's obvious that this is something that the community would appreciate having, and the application made a good presentation with the guidelines and regulations of DENREC and other agencies. I think it'll be appropriate use. I vote yes. Motion carried.
And please don't wait 20 more years, or I may not be able to go.
Looking forward to the crabs.
Here's more books for you.
Okay.
Here's some surveys. Next application is change of zone number 1688. It's the application of Perry Caswell Incorporated to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR general residential district to a GR RPC general residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. Lying north of Route 297, also known as Mount Joy Road, 0.8 miles east of Route 30, being west of Oak Street, a subdivision street, to be located on 22.66 acres, more or less. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on July 8th of 2010. For the benefit of council, I passed down some exhibit booklets. You might have to share them. I think I only had four. The exhibit booklet were provided by the applicant on June 10th of 2010. Technical Advisory Committee Agency provided comments on the application on or before August 31st, 2009, and they are a part of the record. On October 2nd, 2009, DelDOT provided a letter of no objection to the entrance location. That access to the site shall be from Oak Street, which is a private street, and advising that the letter is not a DelDOT endorsement of the project. It is a recital of the transportation improvements which the applicant may be required to make as a precondition to recordation. We received comments from the Sussex Conservation District on July 1st, 2010. We received a petition in opposition to the application on July 7th, 2010, which contained 56 signatures in opposition and contained references that the application be denied since ingress and egress would have to occur on Route 297 or through Oak Street subdivision. That 297 is a heavily traveled secondary road with no shoulders, no bike lanes, and no pedestrian path. But there is no way to move over for emergency vehicles. The traffic is already so heavy that it has one of the only three traffic signal or traffic safety devices on the whole of Route 30. That the others are located at Zor Road and Route 9. That there are no public water or sewer lines available to this parcel, and there are no plans at this time to service the area. The party living and owning property on Oak Street should not be subject to having large volumes of traffic destroy the peace and quiet of their dead-end One Street subdivision. That the presence of a sewer system large enough to handle this project would endanger water wells of existing homes in the area, that emergency services, including police services, may be strained, and that the project should be postponed until infrastructure is in place to support the project. Eric Caswell was present with Heidi Gilmore, attorney from Tom Razor, and Gary Couples, professional land surveyor with Engineering Consultant International LLC, and gave testimony. Mr. Couples submitted elevation drawings and some conceptual dwellings proposed for the project and an aerial photograph of the site and area. There were no parties present in support of the application. Four parties spoke in opposition to the application and making reference to similar comments as what was stated in the petition. Mr. Robertson advised, being Vince Robertson, county attorney, advised the audience that this application does not seek to change the underlying GR zoning, which has existed on this property for many years, and that the density sought by the application is actually less than the permitted density under the existing zone. The commission on July 8th have deferred action and have yet to act on this application, and it is on the agenda for discussion or decision making on old business on August 12th of 2010. I made reference to photographs. Here's a copy of an aerial photograph, and here's a packet of elevation views of the fronts of some of the houses that could be built on the site if the project is approved. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
So if it were built as a GR, how many would we have?
If it was built in the GR zoning and they could meet the requirements for GR, the density could be, depending on design, and if the soils were suitable for septic, they could put in 10,000. Well, it would be, you would probably get, for septic systems, they still would have to be 3/4 acre lots. So you get a somewhat lesser number of lots because, and it's all up to septic.
Okay.
If it's central sewer still, then they may get a few more, but probably not. Probably about the same number. Okay. Based on the soil and the design.
Are there any other questions of Mr. Lang?
And just to add to that, if I can, Mr. Moore, the applicant may make part of that testimony. Right.
Seeing no other questions.
Well, I got one thing.
Sure.
So, Archie, I see that Mr. Robertson said that they could density it would be more?
It could be, but it's all designed, so you don't know without seeing a design.
Okay.
Because GR density, if it had central sewer, could be 10,000 square foot lot.
Right.
In this case, they're designing an RPC to give them 7,500 minimum, and their average is actually greater. But it's got a central system that takes up a good portion of the site to allow for the design.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. We have a new attorney with us today, Ms. Gilmore.
I have to reintroduce myself. I'm not Heidi Balliette anymore. For the record, I'm Heidi Gilmore with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor. I was recently married, so
congratulations.
My name. Kevin Gilmore is my husband, so I'm sure you're familiar with him. But I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Harry Caswell, Inc., for a change of zone for RPC, and it's number 1688. The applicant's representative is here with me today. That's Harry Caswell. And presenting with me is Gary Couples with ECI. The application was submitted in anticipation that this RPC project would be an affordable housing site, a true affordable housing. And as a part of your packet, there is a letter from Bill LaCates from the County Community Development Office, and his letter commends the applicant for proposing this community and what he calls an area which is in dire need of moderately priced housing, as stated in the comprehensive plan. So that's our intentions. It's not to come in here with a non-affordable housing site. It's a relatively small community. 37 lots are what's proposed. There was some confusion at the planning and zoning hearing that our application would be asking for more. It is our position we're actually asking for less, and I'll address that in my discussion. For the record, I'd like to note that you've received in the record prior today a project booklet, which contains all the relevant information we'll be presenting and referring to from time to time, and it addresses all the items in 99C subdivision ordinance. We've moved our project booklet into the record the evening of planning and zoning, and Mr. Couples and I might refer to items in that. For the record, our application is for a change of zone for an RPC subdivision of land for a single-family residential lot community, 37 lots on 22.66 acres. The total open space is 6.82 acres, and the proposed site density is 1.6 units to the acre. The comprehensive plan would allow us to have 4 units to the acre in our mixed residential, which we'll discuss also. Mr. Couples will be reviewing the engineering items of the 99C project booklet. The 2008 Comprehensive Land Use Development Plan places this property in a low-density area, which is described as mixed residential. The guidelines for mixed residential is that the use be residential, single-family homes, density of 4 units to the acre, central and water strongly encouraged. Our density proposal is 1.6 units to the acre. Our plan meets the objectives set forth in that section of the comprehensive plan. We are proposing central sewer via Tidewater. We've also had discussions with Tidewater, which Mr. Couples will address, to service wells, and we may have shared wells. The agency comments do not object to this site use. We already have approval from DLDOT, and we'll continue to work with the agencies, as we have over the last few years, with their recommendations. You will notice the project proposes sidewalks on internal roads. We would work with the school facility for a school bus facility. One of the things we're finding when we're doing the developments is the school buses are not allowed to come into the development, so we work with them to figure out where the bus stop would be. There would be a recreational amenity, which would mainly be an open area recreational park with a tot lot. With this being an affordable community, we don't want to stress the residents with high dues to maintain a clubhouse and some recreation that wouldn't be compatible. Next, the proposed location is a part of an existing village area, which has developed over time. You can look at many of the lots that are there and see that they were broken off along the road. You'll see some of the older subdivisions that are there, the one we're adjacent to, Mr. Cordry created many, many years ago. The goal for us was to create a single-family, affordably priced community that fits in with the surrounding uses and the character of the area. The parcel is suitable for the proposed design and type of housing. It is our opinion that this site will serve a need to the existing village-type community by providing housing that will be affordable with manageable deed restrictions, and it would be maintained with a high quality by having a homeowners association where they can regulate themselves. The land use and development trends in the area allow this to be an appropriate site for a single-family residential community. It's contiguous with the older and existing development in the area. There are other single-family lots surrounding this community. The proposed location and use, we do not feel, will have an adverse impact. We believe it actually will augment the area and help improve what's there. Approval of this application would be creating work for the many trades, and the sale of the lands would generate taxes and fees to the county. The development plan for this site would not be detrimental to the environment, local economy, nor the area roadways. The community as designed would complement the already existing affordable housing. And we've actually had some discussions with housing agencies for the state and in our local area about providing the housing to make it truly affordable. And we'll continue those discussions. And if we have an approval, we'll certainly continue with that plan. Lastly, for my portion, the granting of this subdivision is in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan in that it promotes the health, safety, morals, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County, and the approval of this change of zone RPC is consistent with the general convenience and welfare of the inhabitants of Sussex County. So I will turn it to Mr. Couples, and then we can address additional questions that you might have.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Gary Couples. I'm a registered professional land surveyor and professional planner. I'm also the president of ECI, the firm to put the plans that were before you together. Some of this discussion is going to be a little repetitive from what Heidi went through, but I think it's important that we make sure that everybody understands what it is we're proposing. The site acreage, as Heidi had said, is 22.7 acres. The project is located on the north side of Mount Joy Road, Sussex County Road 247, about a mile east of the junction of Route 30 and Mount Joy Road. The current zoning is GR. The GR zoning in Sussex County allows 4 units to the acre. The desired zoning is we're just really want to amend the GR to allow for the RPC, which is the smaller lots. That's the reason we've done that. The minimum lot size that we're proposing is 7,500 square feet. The average lot size within the development is 8,100 square foot. The total number of lots is 37. The total project density is 1.63 lots per acre versus the 4 lots per acre that is allowed in the zoning and was addressed previously by Mr. Lang. There is a tax ditch that runs along the west side of the project and then diverts out here. They call it the L&P tax ditch. There appears to be another tax ditch in this area here. However, in discussion with the tax ditch people at Sussex County Conservation District, it is not a tax ditch. So we have agreed to buffer that tax ditch to allow for the maintenance of it into the future. And we have also agreed to buffer the project from the surrounding properties. And if you look at the plan, what you basically have here is a 55-foot buffer in the area adjacent to the tax ditch, which is the west side, and approximately one half of the north side of the project, and 30 feet around the remainder of the project. The site is predominantly wooded. However, they are not. It's not a high-quality woods. It's not something that you could throw a cat through. When we look at the calculations for forests to remain, we take into consideration, for example, the sanitary of the
sewer treatment area. Only 50% of this area will be used. The remaining 50% of that area will be preserved with the intent if the existing system would malfunction, you would then replace it in another location and then allow the area that was the primary sewage treatment bed to regrow. So we would go ahead and reforest that. So altogether, we're anticipating that about 53% of the site could remain in the woods that it is in right now, or the woodlot. The layout of the project, it is a linear cluster, and it is completely buffered from the adjacent properties. The proposal allows for 24-foot wide streets, sidewalks on one side, and every lot in the development has direct access to open space. The sanitary sewer system will be owned and maintained by Tidewater or a Tidewater subsidiary. There is within the information booklet a letter from Tidewater that states that they will take control of this system. There has also been some preliminary soil testing and monitoring of groundwater. The results of that testing is in Appendix K of the booklet. As far as water supply, as it stands right now, we anticipate to go into a well program with Tidewater. We have open discussions with them where Tidewater will develop and maintain the water wells that supply potable water for the individual residences. There is an area between the project, a little peninsula, if you will, that extends from the project site out to Mountjoy Road. It's the intention of Mr. Caswell to dedicate that to public use. We tried to enter into discussions with the church that is located nearby and have not been successful, but that would be the intent. If the community doesn't want the lot, then we will maintain the lot as perpetual open space. The amenities, there will be a tot lot as shown on the plan, along with a pavilion. Regarding the site entrance, we have within the booklet a letter of no objection from DelDOT, and the access will be through Oak Street. We have access through that, and that letter of no objection is contained in Appendix H of the booklet. The level of service currently at the intersection of Oak Street and Mountjoy Road is level of service A. When you calculate the impact of this project on that intersection, it will remain as level A. So there is no impact on the traffic patterns at that intersection, no substantial measurable impact. The purpose of the housing is moderately priced, fee simple housing, single family housing, with a target market of less than $200,000. In today's economy, what that means is this provides housing for the police officer in Millsboro, for the librarian, for people of that income level, and we think that's certainly an admirable pursuit. And as Heidi had mentioned, we do have a letter of support from the Sussex County Community Development Office, Bill Locates, and that is contained in the information. Typical of the housing, we've provided some illustrations in a handout that show the typical residence that would be constructed there. The homes are Berica homes, and Mr. Caswell has entered into discussions with them on how these homes are to be supplied and erected. Stormwater management for the project is not difficult. We've already had initial
discussions with the Conservation District, and we're fortunate in that we have a discharge point into the tax ditch, so there's not an issue there. As far as the state planning office, they have categorized this site as a level four. It's their letter after our meeting with them is contained in the booklet. However, when one takes a look at the site, from an aerial point of view, it's pretty clear that there's something flawed. That certainly is a village. It's a village that has been evolving for some time. And to further bolster that statement, I would tell you that Mount Joy Road, before you get into the village, goes from a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit to a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit. So it appears that the State Planning Office's categorization of this site is incorrect. With regard to compliance with the Sussex County Ordinance 99.9C, I could read it to you, but I'd just as soon as stipulated it, it's in Appendix B. It's pretty clear as that we do comply with those requirements. The other main issue that has become to the center of the discussion regarding this project is the status of Mount Joy Road. There was some testimony that it is a 20-foot road with no shoulders. That's incorrect. I drove as recently as this morning the full length of Mount Joy Road, and it is a 20-foot cartway or paved road with a minimum of 4-foot stabilized shoulders on either side of the road. What's even more important is the fact that the category, the characterization of Mount Joy Road is that of a major collector. It is by that designation isn't something that we attach to a road. It is something that DLDOT attaches to a road. Mount Joy Road is the exact same category of road as Route 24. Route 24 is a major collector. And we have the DLDOT map here if you want to examine it to prove that to you. I thought that was very telling. So this corridor has been recognized by the State Planning Agency as a growth area, even though they come back and are sort of talking in both sides of their mouth, to be honest with you. How can it be a level four area when it's bisected by a major collector road designated by the Department of Transportation? It has a reduced speed limit through the village, and it meets the criteria, obviously, that DLDOT has assigned for a major collector. And that pretty well concludes my discussion this afternoon. If there's questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them for you.
Yeah, Mr. Couples, I got to go back to the other one showing the site plan. Is there the other map up there? I was going to ask you a couple questions about these. You've got those two accesses, I guess, or something to the to future parcels. See out there next to lot 14 and 13, you've got that
the stumps
and the other stump, basically leading out to the other lands. With it seems to me gives you the intent that either there's some maybe collusion or somebody's thinking about maybe bringing those in later on. Would those parcels also, if added into this project, still use Oak Street?
No, quite candidly, that was mandated by DLDOT. They want to have interconnectivity.
Okay. That's the question.
No collusion at all.
Okay, and that's what I was trying to find out, why those stubs were left.
That was just a requirement of DLDOT.
Okay. Do those parcels have other access out to other roads?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I would imagine otherwise they'd be landlocked.
Right, right. Or have.
In Delaware, there are no landlocked parcels.
Right, but it may not have a 50-foot easement back to them or something.
I really don't know what status it is.
And Oak Street is a private road, and who owns the private road?
All of the residents, including Mr. Paswell.
Okay.
If I can give you some history.
Yeah, if somebody, I'm wondering, what is the position of the people?
Mr. Cordry, who owned the larger parcel, created those lots with that street, and he maintained lot 19 connected to his parcel for access. And it's private. It's so old, there are no restrictions or anything of record dealing with the use of it.
Okay. So, but the ownership of it right now is everybody's got a piece.
Unison with everyone that's used it, you know, through the title history.
Okay. In equal parts, or is there any kind of division on?
No, there's nothing stated other than it's a private street.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any concerns that we should have ever, from your point of view, being our attorney, that there should be any concerns about this description of this private road and who can use it and how much can use it, or, you know?
Was this basically just a parcel that was left out of the original larger tract when road frontage was stripped out?
He created, I think it was 20-some lots along there, and he maintained.
They were all the strips, correct?
Along frontage. Oak Street, yeah. They're not, that wasn't road frontage, it was a private street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was that strip a lot, or was it actually?
It was a lot.
Okay.
And when he passed away, his wife conveyed it to the owner, who conveyed it and conveyed it to Mr. Caswell.
That was a Lawrence Cordry subdivision, was recorded in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm. So that was a lot.
It was originally intended, yes, as
would
a lot.
Would have been a lot. How about the other one out on Mount Joy Road, that
acts? Little stub?
That stub. That looks narrower than a lot. Yeah, that one there, that can't be used.
We have a few issues with the zoning office, or they have some issues with the use of that land by surrounding property owners that aren't authorized to use it. So we kept it apart from the community so the HOA wouldn't have to deal with those. So it actually creates a little bit of a plus for the county that people there won't be seeking variances for their use of that land. Our intent was to try to convey it out to resolve, because it's no use to us. We would just convey it out, but no, we couldn't find anyone to accept it. And we tried to contact the local church, which is right there, and hoping to create some discussion, but no one's contacted us.
That site could be used multiple ways. You could split the property and convey it in half or as whole to the immediate neighbors adjacent. That would eliminate that from being a parcel. It could be left as open space for the project, or it could be left in open space for the community. And we discussed at the commission level the possibility of using that for the bus stop location because of the typical school buses won't go inside the project. So they could have access from that point by a trail created for the students that were in the subdivision. Yeah. And they've even discussed donating it to the church, but found no interest. There are different ways it could be used.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to create a harmonious resolution to it, but we haven't quite concluded that legally, Mr. Moore.
Okay. And Mr. Cole, going back to your question, I think you raise a good point. I would want to look at that issue concerning the private road, if there was any type restriction. And I would request that, since we can't act anyway, that the record be left open for that specific purpose.
Okay, will they provide you with the
all that? I would like to see that.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you. Because that seems where the opposition came from, was on that private road, correct?
Part of it.
Part of it, yeah. I read somewhere there was a Mr. Wayne Baker and Dan Dolan. Any of those people live in that on Oak Street? Let's see.
I think there was one resident that actually lives on Oak Street that participated. I think that was
okay.
There will be an opportunity for the opposition to speak. Are there any other questions of the applicant? Ms. Gilmore, do you have any more witnesses?
No, we do not.
So this is now part of the records. If we have any questions later on, we're safe to anything in that book, right?
That's correct.
All right, good. We'll make sure these need to be court decision.
And are there any other persons that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor of the application? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Sir?
Good afternoon, President and Council. I'm Anthony Daisy. I've been a long resident in Mount Joy all my life, and I've seen a lot of changes in the last 5-10 years, that the traffic problems, and since last met July 8th, there's been 3 car accidents at Mount Joy Road, Route 30, and a Georgetown man, Mr. Graves, got killed there. He was a school bus driver of the area when we were kids. And it was a wreck down at or in an intersection of Hollyville Road and Mount Joy Road. And Mount Joy Road does not have shoulders. Millsburg paramedics can tell you that there was 2 tractor trailers going down that road one day and they couldn't pull over. And there's no shoulders on that road at all. And it's a main travel road. And me and the community, and I speak for the community, I've been out there, did the petition. Everybody on Oak Street opposes this community he wants built back there. They don't want it back there. They say it ain't going to mix well. $200,000-$300,000 homes, the Millsburg cop and the library, and ain't going to mix with this neighborhood we got there now. They don't want it. And it's a level 4 area. And there ain't no attention of the Sussex County putting any sewer or water there in or widening the road. And the people on Oak Street is a dead-end community. They don't want that extra traffic. A lot of kids down there playing. We don't even have shoulders on the road, no paved shoulders. And just like there's a group of us that we walk. We used to walk on Mount Joy Road, and it's gotten so bad the people don't obey the speed limit through there. It's no respect. We all get in a car where it's like 15-20. We got good walk in town of Millsboro for recreation. So we don't need no more people out there, no more houses. We need to get the infrastructure there first before we even think of a development. And plus, in the woods he's talking about, that woods is pretty good woods. And I know wildlife ain't got nothing to do with this, but there's been a lot of hunters in there. There must be 200-300 deers in there. And I don't know where is this all going to go. I mean, I don't know where the wildlife's going to go. They put a development on Route 30, Kingston Ridge. That's been there 5 years, and there's probably only been 5 or 6 houses sold there because nobody really wants to build new houses in that community because of the Mount Joy area. So I don't think this would be a good thing. I think it should be placed on hold because there's a lot of people in Mount Joy opposed us, and they're worried about the welfare, like the large sewer system they're going to have. They're worried about, they know these large septic things have failed. We read in the newspapers every day that they're worried about it's going to contaminate their wells and stuff in the community. And we just don't need this. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Is there anyone else like to speak, sir?
Good evening, Council. My name is Ephraim Phillips. I reside at 26497 Mount Joy Road. We're representing the people from Mount Joy, longtime residents. On the Oak Street, a lot of the children play on that dead-end road. They ride their bikes, they play basketball. There's basketball hoops at the end. The kids get together, they play basketball. And they're used to doing that. When I was kids, we used it. We played football there as well. And we've had a lot of accidents. Like Tony said, there's been a lot of accidents there. And the one entrance that he's got for the Oak Street, when you come out with a Mount Joy, that's a curve right there. There's a curve right there. You can see it in the drawing right there, the curve. And that entrance is close there. And also with Oak Street being where the Oak Street part is, you're talking if there's, 37 lots? If they're married couples, that's what, 74 cars? Was it 37 homes you wanted to put back there? I didn't catch all that. I was trying to calculate the math. But if it was 37 lots, that's 75 more cars on that dead-end street. And who's going to maintain it? There's a lot of people back there that are elderly, senior citizens. They don't have the extra money when that road needs to be maintained. So we need some kind of infrastructural, something needs to be done if all these extra homes are going to be put there. My notes here. And also, school buses. That's a main traveled route for school buses coming down from Long Neck Road, going to the VOTEC, going to the School of Arts. All the school buses travel down that road Monday through Friday during school. It's a lot of traffic. That's just from September to June. It's a lot of traffic on that road, a lot of traffic, and it's just going to add more. That's pretty much it that I have to say, and I just hope you take that in consideration.
Yeah.
And that ditch on the far end, I don't know the closer toward Tony, toward the other end here where they've got the swim well. There's a ditch on that curve, on the other deep curve on the other end of there. And that ditch, the last bad weather we had, the state did come in a few years ago and they put a bigger pipe in, but that area down there did flood back off that side, which runs around the back side of that property. So I'm concerned about, we're talking about a water well or a swell, what's a swim? Is that open area for water, runoff pond or something? Is that what that is? I'm worrying about that flooding over and causing more problems. That's pretty much it. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in opposition? Anyone else? Are there any questions of the council? Or the council of anyone here? I do have one additional question. There was a question during some of the testimony concerning that private road and the maintenance. The maintenance agreements that are proposed, would that cover the entire length of the road? Clear Ag to Mountjoy.
Mr. Caswell's proposing to improve Oak Street up to that entrance and then install, and the community would then maintain the rest of the community. But it's his intention to improve Oak Street to the entrance.
Okay, since the Oak Street stub is still a private road, would that be maintained by the community as well?
We have not had that discussion up until this point, but we had hoped to work in conjunction with all the community members there, but we haven't been successful reaching them.
If there are no...
Back to those stubs, Everett, the only thing that would concern me is if this project gets approved and in the future, these other... I'm looking at one of our tax maps showing these. There's one quite a large parcel that does not appear to have any 50-foot access out to any main road. I'm sure it has an easement to it somewhere. But those easements don't necessarily guarantee that you can subdivide the land. But anyway, is there a way we can protect... The impacts, let's say, of future development, if something like this gets approved, even if it was a subdivision, is there a way we could put in the RPC some wording that it would have to have? In other words, DelDOT couldn't just approve something and dump more people in this into the future?
It would have to go to public hearing anyway.
The other parcels. But
have to go to public hearing.
But these stubs, I'm just...
Or anything else, any other access.
Because the people on these other parcels do not have any rights to Oak Street. Let's assume Mr. Caswell may have it with some rights, but the lands of TP1 LLC or whatever, Eric J. Clark, they don't. But it appears that DelDOT would like to see them interconnected to this street possibly. So anyway, right. I got some concerns there. I don't know if there's anything that you share with us.
You bring up a good point. I believe the common law would be that a parcel outside of this probably could not burden this parcel with additional traffic through that, because it was never part of this parcel. There may be different rules for this parcel due to the fact that it was originally part of the master.
Okay, since we've talked about it, that can still be part of the record, right? Okay, good. All right.
And I would suggest Mr. President, we have taken all the testimony. I would I believe we can terminate or end the public hearing. At this point, I would suggest, since we have to defer anyway, that the record be open for the specific purpose of discussing the right-of-way on this private road.
I'll make a motion we defer.
Second.
Motion and a second to defer, so it's understood the public hearing is closed, but the record will remain open for that particular point. Any further discussion?
No.
Now we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Just one last thing. This gentleman right there, could I get him up at the podium? For 20-some years, he's given me a hard time. Ever. I want an opportunity to put you on the spot. Could you explain to the council why you've been giving me a hard time?
You're a good Democrat, guy.
Oh! It's all about politics with that. I don't want to hear anymore.
What did he say? I didn't hear that.
What did he say?
No, he's...
Would you mind speaking to Mike? I didn't catch it.
George Cole's a good Democratic guy.
Oh, George. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move you.
Second.
He shames me with calling me a...
Second by Mr. Wilson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned on that note.